From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, February 17th. I'm Abby Larico. Coffee is the crown jewel to Ethiopia's economy, but the farmers who make that possible are often exploited by middlemen taking advantage of a tough situation.
I don't know when that buyer is going to come or if he's going to come, or do I just take this and make sure my family is not going to struggle?
We'll learn how one startup in St. Louis is working to put the selling power back in the hands of Ethiopian coffee farmers. That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Abortions in Missouri could resume soon. This is following a Missouri judge granting a request from Planned Parenthood to temporarily overturn the licensing requirements that have kept the provider from offering the procedure. Jackson County Circuit Court Judge Jerry Zhang issued an order late Friday that declared the state's licensing requirements for abortion providers are discriminatory because they only apply to abortion facilities and not to similar clinics. Such requirements include a rule that providers issue a pelvic exam to patients before they can perform an abortion. Zhang initially did not include the rules in a December order that overturned Missouri's abortion ban, but Planned Parenthood asked the court to reconsider, alleging the licensing laws were discriminatory and kept the clinics from actually performing the procedures. Missouri voters in November passed Amendment 3, which placed the right to an abortion in the state's constitution. The life sciences company Varo has picked St. Louis as the place where it wants to grow as it continues to develop new diagnostic medical devices. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the company's devices will rapidly detect pathogens that easily spread through the air, like the flu, COVID, and RSV.
The inside of Varo's new lab space in one of Cortex's buildings is sparse, with a handful of empty lab benches and wire racks. But company CEO Tom Cerrito says that will change quickly.
We're hiring like crazy right now. We've got a lot of positions that are open.
Cerrito says they have 4 current openings and plan to have 30 staff by the end of the year. He says the company aims to launch a clinical trial later this year for a device that will detect COVID, flu A, and flu B.
That's a very tight schedule for us to meet. We have to build out this laboratory. We have to get our manufacturing space up and running.
Cerrito says the R&D portion of the lab may be up and running in about 2 months. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ameren, Missouri has announced a $16 billion plan to make more electricity over the next 5 years as it anticipates more demand for power. Officials at the St. Louis-based provider say they'll increase the utility's capacity by building more natural gas generators and adding more wind and solar sources. But Jenda Rose, who heads up the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign, says she wants more evidence about the prospective demand in the state.
Ameren and state regulators must be transparent about the specific projects that are allegedly driving demand, because ratepayers deserve to know whether or not this is real or speculative.
DeRose is also disappointed the plan relies much on natural gas, which, like coal, is a fossil fuel that is shown to damage the environment. A political newcomer says news articles about St. Louis being unable to pay its bills on time inspired her to run for comptroller. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more from Celeste Metcalf's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Metcalf grew up in St. Louis and went to graduate school at Washington University. She moved away to do accounting in the entertainment industry, but came home after her father died. Metcalf is currently an independent contractor whose clients have included some city offices. She says she had always wanted to fix the issues with the city's accounting system, but it never made sense to quit a job for an office she might not win. That changed, she said, after reading articles in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about delays in getting bills paid.
It takes a normal, breathing person who's interested in taking care of business to pay their bills. And so when I saw that, I said, I got to do something.
The primary election is March 4th. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can find interviews with all 3 comptroller candidates at stlpr.org. A patch of land along I-44 in the Shaw neighborhood of St. Louis has become a hotspot for bee researchers. That will continue this spring as behavioral ecologist Amy Dunlap and her team at University of Missouri St. Louis will begin a study on pollinator activity in that area, which is known as Greenhouse Ventures Embankment Greenway.
Greenhouse Ventures has been really clever in thinking about ways to use that space. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't mow as frequently. Maybe you can plant that up with some prairie flowers and provide additional habitat.
A previous study by St. Louis University concluded that more than 50 species of bees had been drawn to the site by its native plants and flowers. Dunlap's research will build upon this by more closely analyzing their behavior using camera recordings and pollen cataloging. Coffee is big business in Ethiopia. The country is the largest coffee producer on the continent of Africa, bringing in more than $1 billion in 2022. Despite global demand, the country's coffee farmers and producers are often exploited. But a St. Louis University student's company is attempting to shake up the industry by directly connecting Ethiopian coffee farmers to roasters in the U.S. As St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson reports, Moyi Coffee is humanizing the coffee industry, one bean at a time.
The smell of coffee lingers at First Crack, a roasting facility in St. Louis. Frau Ahmed is grinding up several batches of freshly roasted coffee beans. This coffee connoisseur is setting up for another day of cupping six different high-quality Ethiopian coffees. Cupping is a multi-day, multi-step process that starts with light roasting several batches of green coffee beans 48 hours in advance. That's followed by weighing the beans, grinding them, smelling the fresh grounds, steeping the grounds in hot water, then smelling the brew again.
Some coffees, if it's not good quality, it might smell good when it's dry, and then you add the water and it would start smelling different. So you're looking for consistency across the brewing method.
It's finally time to taste. Ahmed scrapes off the top layer of foam from a white cup with two spoons. He dips a clean spoon in the cup, scoops up the coffee, and quickly slurps it down. This is a key part of Ahmed's business, Moyi Coffee. The online platform partners with Ethiopian coffee farmers and producers and connects them to independent roasters in the U.S.
Moyi means win. I think with what we're working on currently is we're helping out the producers by giving them access to direct international market. And we're also helping out the roasters by allowing them to buy directly from the source.
The St. Louis University senior co-founded the business with a mission to fix a broken coffee supply chain that leaves coffee farmers and producers in Ethiopia with little to no selling power. Ahmed says part of the problem is that the middlemen are buying the coffee well below its actual value.
So as a farmer, you have to make a choice. You say, goodness, do I wait for another buyer who's going to give me the right price? But I don't know when that buyer is going to come or if he's going to come. Or do I just take this and make sure my family is not going to struggle?
Roughly 25% of Ethiopians depend on the coffee supply chain to make ends meet. That's according to a 2023 report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Moyi Coffee amplifies the voices of the Ethiopian coffee farmers and producers on its platform. Sharing their stories, it's one way Ahmed is working to put humanity back into coffee. Ahmed went back to Ethiopia in December during peak harvest season to see just how much time, dedication, and labor goes into a single cup of coffee. Right now, you're hearing the sounds of the Herafa coffee station in Bensa Sidama, Ethiopia. It's way up in the mountains, and the view is stunning. It's here he meets Yusana Yure. He's a farmer in the Sidama region of Ethiopia.
I've been a coffee farmer for 12 years. I used to be a merchant, but I met a person who came back from the States. And since I had about 7 hectares of land, he convinced me to become a coffee farmer. What would make me really happy is if people who buy our coffees learn more about the effort we put into producing these coffees and how much care we put into it.
Back in St. Louis, Frau Ahmed's mission is gaining traction. Independent roasters Moyi Coffee works with are seeing the value of ethically sourced and priced high-quality Ethiopian coffee. Moyi Coffee's goal is to expand its reach to other coffee-producing countries across the globe. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A special thanks to Frau Ahmed for sharing the video and audio from his trip to Ethiopia featured in this story. Listen to an extended version of this story on St. Louis on the Air at noon and 7 p.m. today, or on our website at stlpr.org. Our Jonathan All edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.